Chapter 8, The Glory of the High Calling. We have pondered at great length why God's servants so often settle down short of the high calling. Many will not embrace even the general calling as a bondslave, and others will not move on to their special calling in exercising their spiritual gifts, which become a lifelong ministry through them. But how very few go on to fulfill their specific calling, which we shall now consider. It would seem many can be illustrated by the three men who are shoveling dirt on the side of the road. A passerby asked what they were doing. "I'm digging a ditch," the first said. "I'm making a foundation," said the second. The third laborer was of a different breed. "I'm building a cathedral," he answered. It is quite true that the servant who is merely digging a ditch for God is quite apt to become weary as a bondslave. Or if he has no further vision than making a foundation, he is apt to falter. It is the one who has seen with God the wondrous building for the eternal habitation of God who will be carried along by. I am sure only God knows how and when to encourage and enlarge our vision, that we might behold a little greater measure of the glory of our high calling. Will you indulge me a very personal incident? I recall such an hour, more than 10 years ago, when on a Sunday morning, I was privileged to sit in the congregation of a large college church in the Twin Cities. As the pastor, whom I had not known, arose to share his message, he said, "This week I have been gripped by a book, and in my own words, I want to pass on what I've seen of the vision and heartthrob of the Apostle Paul. I want us to see what it was that helped him to live in the stream of God's eternal purpose." I thought, surely this man is echoing my own heart. I wonder what book that is. Then, as he proceeded, I recognized the illustrations, the outline, and certain precise words. Yes, I did know that book. When the service was over, I greeted the pastor at the door. I thanked him for God's word to our hearts and the evident anointing in his ministry. But as I was about to leave, some close friends rushed up. "Oh, pastor," they announced, "we want you to meet our friend." Then it happened. He recognized my name. "Could you be the author of the book I referred to this morning?" My heart was so full I could only nod and assured him the morning service had been a most precious time in which God had encouraged my heart. We can hardly know just how God's truth can flow on and on from one life to another like a stream always building his spiritual house. Now I have related this incident simply as a means of showing something God began in my heart and has been enlarging ever since. That morning, as the pastor spoke, I saw the glory of being a spiritual father. The stream of life which flows out from God's own being through our being is a never-ending stream, as it will touch lives throughout the ages to come. I saw how Paul had the unspeakable joy of multiplying and imparting and extending his own spiritual life and vision to others who would likewise continue the stream. What greater joy could one know than being a spiritual father through whom our heavenly Father could pass on reality from himself to others? If I was inwardly rejoicing in being able to share with this pastor that he might share with his people, this was indeed but a foretaste of what God longed to realize in greater measure through every life. As I listened, it was most evident to me that the pastor was more vocal in expressing and more adept in translating the meaning which I felt but could not articulate so well. One thing I knew, every man has his own unique calling to beget his own spirit, vision, intensity, and dedication to others. Here was a pastor who was possessed. He was gripped and manifestly moving by divine inspiration to beget himself in others. While I had thought I was living and breathing the vision and spirit of the Apostle Paul, here was something much deeper, an insight into Paul's spiritual fatherhood. Indeed, he was a love slave poured out, an apostle hazarding his life to found churches. But above all else, he was a spiritual father who has been extending himself down through the centuries. How often I had questioned, along with others, what is that high calling which Paul presses for in Philippians 3:14? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In one sense, that high calling is very different for every life, but yet it is the same. It is far more than being a dedicated doctor, a missionary, a minister, a nurse, or an apostle. These are but the special doorways which lead to the specific calling. When a doctor projects himself as a spiritual father, a minister begets himself in lives as a spiritual father, etc. It is in the measure that we have truly become a son in full stature unto him that we shall share God's father heart and become a representative for him. For millions, Paul has continued to live. His vision, purpose, spirit, attitude, and dedication are one with the divine stream of the spiritual flowing on to us. In his letters to the churches, we see an amazing extension of himself into every believer and every church, even down to this very hour. One need only allow the Holy Spirit to quicken Paul's writings, and he immediately senses his groaning and travail, his yearning and prayers, his spirit and motive as he utterly gives himself in the care and nourishment of the churches then and down to this hour. Surely we are confronted with this question. Can there possibly be any higher, grander, or more glorious calling than to be a spiritual father? When Paul entered his specific calling, we have already considered how Paul proved himself in his general calling as a bondman, and then in his special calling as a sent messenger, apostle. Now we must see how his apostolic calling was the doorway to his highest calling. Without this qualifying and preparation, he could not have been promoted to his specific calling, a spiritual father of the church. From a traveling ministry, he was to be shut up behind prison bars. What could God possibly have in this? Who could accept what seemed like banishment from active ministry unless in it he sees God's hand to accomplish something far greater for himself? Yet without this shutting up and away, there could be no fulfilling of that specific thing for which God had marked him out. He was separated unto the gospel of God. But what was so distinctive about this gospel which God was to reveal through Paul? He explains it thus: Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Romans 16:25. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you, the Gentiles, for I suppose you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that was given to me in your regard, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery which in other ages was not made known. Ephesians 3:1-5. For many in that day, imprisonment must have seemed like the finale to Paul's ministry. Only now, in the light of the intervening years, can we properly appreciate how God had something greater for Paul than perhaps even he could imagine. From his prison cell flows the letters by which a spiritual father will instruct and nourish the churches. What an extension of himself, flowing on and on through every century into every church, even down to this present age. This is the glory of fulfilling our high calling as a spiritual father. What we are saying is that as one enters this specific phase to fulfill his high calling, he will above all be a spiritual father who extends himself into others. The more he senses that reproductive power, that pull and priority, the more he will, like Paul, reflect the Lord Jesus. There is no other way to explain Paul's writing. Had he not been responsible for there the Corinthians begetting? Then surely he has a right to remind them, Though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. In his second letter to them, he expresses his largeness of heart as a spiritual father. I speak as unto my children, I am your father, you are my children, so you ought to be like your father. Now for a recompense in like kind be ye enlarged. What he means is, since I have a big heart to you, if you are my true children, then you will have a big heart back to me. You will respond in like kind. How Paul fulfilled his high calling? As a spiritual father, he was to impart vision, purpose, dedication, and calling to the church. Again, we sense Paul's father heart for his spiritual children as he writes to the Galatians. No spiritual father could beget a household of children, then forget them. Even a bird does not hatch a nest of eggs and fly off, as some Christian workers are prone to do. Paul's father heart seems ever watchful for their growth and writes, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." We are sure Paul deeply sensed this strange and wonderful multiplying power which God imparts to anyone who enters into true fatherhood. It is so manifest as he encourages his friend Philemon to act as a father toward his returning slave Onesimus. Here is a true father pleading with another friend to be as a father. "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." If to fulfill fatherhood is the high calling, how truly Paul measures up to full stature. May I say it emphatically, the greatest need of the church in this hour is not more teachers, more evangelists, more pastors, or more prophets as such, but that these men, above all else, bear the image of spiritual fathers. O God, give us men who are alive to their high calling. Finally, what is the prize of the high calling? Can you think of anything more noble, more exalting, more satisfying than the joy resultant from a vast family completely expressing our Father God and His Son? Even so, we who are called to cooperate in this ultimate intention shall know the joy resulting from such a participation.